You're listening to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church, where we explore how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives to compel us towards gratitude and generosity. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome back to Abound in Hope. It's great to have you again with us here today. This is our part two of our three-part series on dealing with chronic pain and how to deal with that as a Christian, how it changes your view of God sometimes, or how it should satisfy you at times in your relationship with God and how that looks as well. So my name is Darren. I serve in the team here at Imprint Church, and I'm here with a couple friends. Say hi, friends.
Hi, it's Suzanne Hagelin.
Hey, I'm Tom McGregor.
Awesome. And we're sitting here with a very special guest who is going to share a little bit of her story, which is a huge gift to our church. Mm-hmm. And so would you tell us who you are, special guest?
Yes. My name is Roxanne Kimball, and I'm originally from Iowa, but we moved out here a while ago, about 16 years ago, to Seattle area. And I am currently disabled right now. I don't work or anything.
I tell us about your kids.
Oh, yeah. I have two kids, a daughter who is 16, and I have a son who is 13.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your daughter was baptized on Easter. It was so fun. Oh.
Yes,
she was. It was very cool to see that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess the reason why we have you out here is because you are disabled, but you haven't always been disabled. So can you give us a little bit of your story? And we'll probably throw in some questions every now and then, but just give us a little bit of the timeline of where you've been.
Yeah. So in July of 22, I got COVID, and I had all my vaccines and everything. And that was required because I was working in the school system at that time. And I had a little bit of a reaction, but not too bad. But in August, I got COVID for real. Mm-hmm. July, I got COVID for real. And then in August, I just was walking and I had two meniscus tears discovered. And then I had severe chest pain. I went into the ER. I had nerve pain across my chest, down my arm. They then did some testing. They diagnosed me. They said I had a brain tumor. But it shouldn't be causing the issues that I had. That wasn't a good experience. No. That was the way that it was delivered. I didn't care about the brain tumor.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't care. No, when you're in a lot of pain, you really don't care about anything except for the pain.
Right.
And so, that figured out. And then I had horrible, I couldn't hold my head up. With the chest pain, I couldn't sit up.
Oh,
I couldn't reach for things. I couldn't, it was really bad. And then it went into my neck. And so they had previously thought, oh, you have costochondritis. But then I, went to the ER again because it was in my neck and I was having a hard time breathing. I mean, it hurt to talk. It hurt. Everything hurt. And then when it got on my neck, I couldn't hold my head up and I had to wear a permanent neck brace to hold my head up. And so then the doctor at the ER said, oh, well, costochondritis shouldn't, go up into your neck. But then they didn't really have any answers for me. And so they sent me, I've been to rheumatologists. I've been to so many kinds of doctors. And it wasn't until recently that, they did diagnose me finally. But I was in so much pain. And I have MCAS, so it's mast cell activation syndrome. And mine is the kind where you swell with movement. So any talking, any movement, any just walking to the bathroom, anything, like walking around your house. Like I couldn't, my medication now allows me to walk around my house, but it doesn't, it's not like a limitless, like you can't, doesn't stop completely the inflammation. The medications they had given me, I guess, was making me worse because I was on meloxicam, and that is something you're not supposed to give people with MCAS.
Oh, no.
And wow. So it ended up damaging this ligament in my neck. Wow. And so I did recently also get a neck procedure done, which is supposed to help with, because I had nerve pain in my head. Nerve pain in your head is really bad. And Yeah, and so I had that done on my neck, and it's getting better. Now I can talk for longer periods, wow. and it has made a huge difference in my life.
Wow.
Really has, because any talking mm-hmm. was, it would aggravate my muscles, right? Because mm-hmm. when you talk, you use the muscles in your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that would just aggravate the nerve pain because my ligament isn't strong enough to support my neck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was brutal. Yeah, I mean, my kids were taking care of me mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, and my husband.
And you were athletic before this. I mean, you're an athletic family. It seems like you were moving and all.
Yeah,
this stuff.
I was hiking. Yeah. I was able to go hiking, and I was doing a lot of that. I mean, one doctor said, "Oh, you're old."
I oh my think God.
I was.
Oh.
Yeah, because yeah, my thanks. Meniscus tears, and so that was his explanation for why I had two meniscus tears.
And you were walking. Wow. You didn't do anything acute for that.
I know. That's what I explained to him. I said I was going on hikes and I was walking like 15, 16 miles a week, you know, and not like I had just started walking after being yeah. on bed rest or something. Yeah. So yeah.
Wrong thing to say.
Well, I had a lot of people say interesting things to me.
Mm, yeah. I'm sure you did.
That's actually been a little bit of our theme of our last episode. That if you listen, you know that we talked about what are some of the misconceptions a little bit around chronic pain and what people think mm-hmm. and what people do wrongly when it comes to someone with chronic pain. So mm-hmm. yeah, this is a real gift you're here, Roxy. I know it
yes,
takes some
it
sacrifice
is.
For even you being here mm-hmm. and sharing your story. So mm-hmm. I'm really thankful for that. And we're going to take advantage as many minutes as we can out of you mm-hmm. here. Like, how do you think chronic pain has affected your sense of faith in the Lord? Has it at all? Has it been anything? Oh, actually, maybe you can back up. How did you become a Christian? And what has this done, if anything, to your relationship
okay, yeah.
to Jesus?
So I first became a Christian when I was in preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember I loved the Bible stories and reading my Bible. And it was just so nice. And I prayed for wisdom. I remember praying for that. And my husband believed that was answered. Yeah, as a preschooler, yeah, I remember.
Wow.
And my faith was really deepened a lot just with circumstances in my family. I came from, my father was an alcoholic, and he really did not want kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't really talk to us at all. And I had one brother. And so my parents ended up divorcing just due to his abusiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So they were married 20 years. I was around 10. And he was a very kind of a scary person because mm-hmm. he definitely did threaten to kill us. And mm-hmm. one time it was overheard in a parking lot because people don't, unless you have proof, they don't, they're not going to listen to you at all. So, and yeah, I mean, I definitely went through, there were a lot of times where I thought I would die during, because we would be with him every other weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was upset when he was told that he had to do supervised visits. And so he would take us to his parents' house, which was like an hour away. And he would, you know, go on the opposite side of the road on a hill and say things like, "Oh, are we going to die today? Let's find out."
Whoa.
You know, things like that.
Oh my gosh.
But
can I say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So anyway, but it was actually okay because I felt like God was with me the whole time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's actually worse, like dying never really scared me. It was more just like, you kind of just want to get it over with almost.
Mm.
Because when you're looking at it, like every other weekend, like you think you might die.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, it kind of gets old.
That's rough.
Yeah. So I felt I had a really strong faith with God, and I definitely had a lot of pain previously. Like with my daughter, she has shoulder dystocia.
Mm-hmm.
That was an emergency situation. And then where they had to sort of, I was at a midwife clinic and they said that if they hadn't gotten her out of me, they would have had to, you know, put her back inside me and take me to the hospital. It's really rare. Not a lot of people have that. It's where the baby gets caught in your pelvic bone or something. And so, and then with my son, that one was worse, because that one, my pelvis separated before he was born.
Mm.
And so that surprisingly maybe it's not surprising, but it is painful. At the time I thought it was painful. And I do remember I just remember praying, and because back then, like, the pain wasn't so bad that you couldn't pray, right?
Mm.
And that was good. And it was also easier because I kept thinking there's going to be an ending. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when the baby comes out of me, because it feels like if you've ever had a broken bone, I had it broke my wrist with your pelvis. So that pressure, the baby with the baby growing, it's yeah. like someone breaking your wrist every day.
Oh my
you
gosh.
Have no pain medication. And it took me like 4 hours. I would shake every morning. I would shake for like 4 hours from the pain. And I was so nauseated, I couldn't eat.
Oh,
and
man.
It was just, yeah, I thought it was bad. I would now rate that pain a level 2.
Oh,
previously,
gosh.
I would have rated that a 10. But now it's definitely a 2. It doesn't compare.
It was just as traumatic, though.
Yeah, at the time it was.
Yes,
it
absolutely.
Was. At the time, yeah. I remember going to church. Like, the worst memory I have was I went to church, and it was, you know, it was really hard for me to go anywhere because my pelvis was separated. I couldn't walk, and JT had to carry me, and
right.
everything hurt. And I couldn't actually understand the pastor because I didn't know this because I've been speaking English my whole life. And my husband, when he would talk with me, he would just say things like, how are you doing? Or like, how's the weather? I could understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand people when they would speak in long sentences or tell me stories.
Wow.
I had no comprehension. I couldn't understand it.
That's
because
super
I guess
intense.
The pain was really,
yep.
you
like
know,
disrupting
a lot.
Your brain.
Oh,
balance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so then I was so sad after that
yeah.
because I couldn't even hear the sermon, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just kind of left and kind of just cried in the back of the church because
yeah.
I didn't know that I, you know, wouldn't be able to understand it because
oh,
it had been a while since I'd been. It
sounds isolating.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. It was because, you know, you just kind of want to, yeah, do your normal life. But yeah. Yeah. But anyway, it was 2 years after, it took me 2 years to recover from that.
Mm.
And this has been exponentially worse.
Oh my
and
gosh.
So my relationship with God after this, so all of those other things, I feel like it mostly strengthened my relationship with God. But with this, no,
mm-hmm.
no, it has not. And I think the difference is because the pain has been so intense, I haven't been able, like back then, like even like with my dad, I was able to bring my Bible. Well, when he would allow it, sometimes he would throw, he didn't didn't want the Bible. So if he saw me reading it, he would throw it across the room or like break it or something. So I learned not to bring it as much. But you could read the Bible. You could pray every day. You could do all of that. But with this, I wasn't able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The pain was beyond excruciating.
Right. Oh gosh.
Right.
And you couldn't hold your head up to read or anything like that, I imagine.
No,
right?
I couldn't hold anything to read.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't reading.
Yeah.
No. When I say excruciating pain, like you cannot read, you cannot watch TV, you cannot do anything to take your mind off the pain. The only thing, narcotics did not work for me, which is strange because it would work for a broken wrist or something,
right.
you know?
Right.
So narcotics used to work, but the only medication, and this was at Overlake ER, that they gave me Dilaudid, and
oh,
that
wow.
worked. That was actually one of the best moments
right.
of my life. I had no pain for 1 hour, and they said that it should have actually lasted longer.
Yep.
But it was amazing. My head was clear. I could think. It was so great. But yeah.
It only lasted for an hour.
Would you say that at the moment you feel like you're getting good pain management, or have you made progress in that?
Yeah, I have. Oh yeah, I'm here. Oh. Otherwise I would
right.
not be able to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was completely debilitated.
Yeah.
I was in a chair. I could not leave the chair. My husband had to work. My kids went to school. The best 5 minutes of my day was when they could come in and just say hi to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, I was completely just in a
so
chair
hard.
For months. Mm. Like I was in excruciating pain for months. I was in severe pain for years.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys led a dinner group. You were part of Reason Hope. You guys led an imprint group through all of this.
Yeah.
How did your connection with other people and the community change from 2022?
It was hard. It was different. Like JT was the one who did a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
I could not, because I could not even cook. I mean, I couldn't do anything.
Yep.
And I did try to go to the dinner groups. We didn't have them at our house for a little while, and then we were able to have them at our house again. But I just remember there was one at like Oscar and Mar's house, and I was just so swollen after talking with people it would just cause so much swelling still because my diaphragm moves.
Oh, man.
And so when my diaphragm moves, that's bad for my abdomen. The mast cells start activating, and I wasn't on the right medication then. And mm-hmm. so I knew that when I would lie down and not move and not talk, that the pain would get better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I did not know why that was at right. the time. And so back when we were doing that, I just had to be very careful. And it just, like, even now, I'm just tired of pain. Mm-hmm. I'm so tired. And I have to do everything I can to not get the inflammation. Because what happens is the nerve pain is yeah. what is the pain. The inflammation itself isn't so bad, but when the nerves are involved, which they are, when I get that kind of inflammation, mm-hmm. it's horribly painful. Mm. Yeah.
Hmm. What has changed from, like, what did you need from people surrounding you besides your husband and your family? Like, what did you need from your community of Christ at that time? And what did you need now? Like,
prayers.
Prayers.
Yeah, just prayers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there things that you could do physically or, like, just allow you to be there? Did it bring joy to you at all just to show up at group? Or was it just so
no.
hard? Yeah. Yeah.
No. The pain disrupts the joy mm-hmm. when you have that kind of pain, unfortunately.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, I don't think that's normal because, mm-hmm. like, normally you don't have that kind of pain for that long.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, yeah.
It is somewhat interesting to hear kind of your story about, like, most people's pain's going to go away at some point, or I have a vision for this in the future, and you don't necessarily have that mm-hmm. mindset to be able to, this might go away. And so I imagine that just has to weigh heavily on the soul. Has the Lord been near in this pain at all? Has he felt super distant from you? What has been the experience of, like, even emotionally for you right now?
I think mostly distant, although there were definitely times, like when I was in the MRI for the first time to check on to look at the brain tumor or to get a closer look. I just remember thinking I was going to pass out because I was so dizzy. Mm. So I would have blood pressure drops, which I don't anymore. But back then when I had all of that pain in my chest and all of that, my blood pressure would drop and that was causing dizziness. I remember that I was just praying that I would not pass out and that God just gave me a verse, John 3:16, and that just went over and over in my head.
Amen.
And it just, like, I was able to focus on it and just, yeah, it was very good. And then actually today, I mean, God has blessed me in so many ways though, because I have a family who can help me.
Amen.
Without them, I would be dead. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to get my own food. I wouldn't mm-hmm. be able to get my own water. Like, I was just that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so without them, like, that's a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just, there are little things that it's just, I think when I was in the excruciating pain, you're just not thinking straight.
Yeah.
And honestly, you're not sleeping.
Right.
I couldn't sleep. That kind of pain, you can't really sleep
no.
through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could sleep maybe a few hours a night, but even then it was interrupted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that just messes with your mind,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and now today, actually, my very important medication ran out, and JT went and asked them to refill it, which is the medication I need for my MCAS. And they couldn't get it ordered, but they never told us.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah. And so I was just thinking this morning that I was actually getting scared, because without that medication, I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even walk to the bathroom in my house, you know?
Yeah.
And I know from experience, like calling around different pharmacies, they don't stock this medication. I don't think a lot of people have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the first pharmacy I called today had it.
Oh, good.
And I was just like, thank you, God.
Yeah.
It's like the Lord providing for you in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has been providing for me. I think that when you just have so much pain and that's sometimes all you can see,
yeah.
You're not focused on others as much as I was really focused on others. I was focused on, you know, my family and
mm-hmm.
volunteering and helping, and that's my favorite. One of my favorite things to do is to help people. But I just have to tell myself, like, I'm doing the best that I can, and I don't feel guilty about things that I cannot do because I literally just can't do them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's probably something that would be worth for people who are in chronic pain to hear.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
You can't do the things, and maybe that's okay for a time, or for the long term is that you just have to be okay with being not okay. And that's so brutal. I'm so sorry. I see that in you a little bit, like even hearing Tom's stories about you guys' involvement in groups and the God Loves Kingsgate and all that kind of stuff that you guys mm-hmm. had done for so long. So yeah. New season for you. Whatever happened with the brain, did you have a brain tumor?
I do. Okay. They actually have an MRI again tomorrow mm. to look at it. They're also looking at my veins too mm-hmm. because they do think that my, so I think, so I made a horrible mistake. We went to visit family in February and I was really swollen. And even though we paid for a good car, because a better car means mm-hmm. less bumps for me on the right. roads, we didn't get a great car, and also the roads weren't very good. And so I was able on the way there to be okay. I had to lie down for 24 hours and mm-hmm. heat and everything for the swelling to go down. But on the way back, I wasn't able to do that, and our plane got delayed. And so we were up in the air, and I think they're thinking that my veins, something happened to my veins. Well, because while I was inflamed, and then you go into the
pressure.
Air, yeah, right. it puts extra pressure.
Gosh.
So I've been struggling with that lately, and I've been having my organs come out of place and like just weird, weird stuff. But there is a doctor who can fix it, but it just seems to be getting a little worse. So hopefully, like the best thing is just to pray for doctors that they would have the knowledge. And because honestly, there are a lot of doctors I found that did not believe, you know, some people don't believe in MCAS, yeah. which I didn't know this
right,
at all.
Right.
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
But you have empirical evidence in your body that something seriously wrong.
Yeah, it's a lab. Yeah, I got lab tested. Yeah. And, but there are people who believe my doctor that I was seeing said that I don't have MCAS because I don't have anaphylaxis. Mm. And so there are some people who might have anaphylaxis, but you can still have MCAS without having that. Mm. And she wasn't willing to, you know, give me the medication to just try and see. And that was really hard because I was in so much pain. Mm-hmm. I would have done anything.
Right.
Tried any medication. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Like, all I cared about was the pain. Mm-hmm. And just, so yeah, they're checking on the brain tumor. So far, it hasn't been growing.
Good.
And so that's good. But I mean, I don't know. I'm okay with whatever God has for me. I have to say, I never was afraid of anything, but now I am more afraid of pain.
Of pain, yeah.
Yeah, I really am.
What would you want your church family to know about you? Like, is there things that you wish you could just like put on a sign in your head so that people would understand something? Is there things that you feel like that you've been misunderstood in or anything like that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, the biggest thing probably is that I might not smile like I used to because I might be in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And also talking with people is hard for me.
Of course.
Just because it brings pain for me. So I do try to sometimes avoid that just because it's the longer it goes on, the harder it used to be that I could power through it almost, but it's not something you can just power through.
No,
it just makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you say that, that there are some ways that people have perhaps been less than supportive that were hard for you, maybe things people have said that you would recommend we
not
try
ever
not
saying
to say?
It again. Please
right.
don't say
I
that
mean,
to me ever again. Yeah.
Or I don't know. Do you have any thoughts along those lines?
No, I mean, everyone's been really supportive. I think I haven't really had any issues with any of that. I mean, I've had some doctors tell me, I had the rheumatologist that I saw told me that I needed to go do yoga. But at the time, I had meniscus tears.
Oh my gosh.
I had my chest pain. It was really severe. And just she thought that because of my background, that, you know, I had trauma from my background, and that was somehow causing, you know, what I was currently experiencing.
Right.
So, that wasn't helpful. To tell me to go do yoga when I couldn't, I literally couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I, yeah, just, everyone's been really nice, and we've had, you know, there were people who've brought more than several meals to us, and
it's cool to hear you talk so highly of your husband and your kids too. Like, I'm curious, like, is there ways that we can and haven't supported them, or just could consider supporting them a little more?
I don't know. I mean,
and I don't just mean us as the staff of the church. I actually mean like the community of Christ that would surround you guys to be like, you know, I know what you're going through, or I don't know what you're going through, but I can feed you, or I can
don't
do
know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could ask GT. I don't honestly know, because the biggest thing is my pain. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. And I think the only help I can get with that is prayer, mm-hmm. and, you know, the medications I'm taking, mm-hmm. and just prayer for the doctors that they would know and they could find something quickly, instead of, I mean, it was years that I you know, waited for help. Mm-hmm.
You said that that your earlier suffering increased your faith, but you feel like this time it hasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, you come across as someone whose faith is really solid.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's some aspect of God's character that's been a comfort to you, or is there a question that you're waiting for him to answer?
Oh, no, I think God is faithful. God has always been faithful. I think that with this, it's just sad. I'm so sad from the pain. Yeah. And I think this hasn't brought me closer to God, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I have always felt close to God, like, especially with the other sufferings that I've had in my life, I've felt close to him. But this, like I think I've said before a little bit, with this, I've had trouble reading my Bible just because it couldn't. Or I had trouble thinking and I couldn't pray. Like, when you can't think, like, imagine being in just such excruciating pain. You can't think straight.
No.
You really can't.
You're just thinking, I'm hurting,
all you think is like blinding pain.
Yeah.
It's like the very minute with my oldest daughter, or my only daughter, but my oldest child, when they were able to take her out of me, there was 1 minute of just like kind of blinding pain almost. And that was like, I was like that for months. So I think what is more of the barrier, you know,
like the communication between you isn't possible,
and not being able to go to church every week, or like, you know, that's how my faith was strengthened more before,
right?
And it just feels to me, I mean, I'm sure that my faith is probably still strong, it just feels to me that it's
you're missing
different.
Him, you're missing those things that were very comforting. I was going to say, he himself is there, and you know it. I can see and hear that you know he's with you. You just don't, you're not able to enjoy it.
Or interact.
Yeah.
How has it changed the nature of your relationship in the last 4 years? Like, if the pain is so much that you can't do those things that used to be very connecting, have you found new avenues, or?
Very recently, yeah. I mean, I've been listening to, one of my songs I like now is Almost Home. I've been listening to that a lot. But it's getting better now. The pain is not as bad.
MCAS,
but yeah,
medication.
Yeah, exactly. It is getting better. I think I'm weary and tired.
Yeah. Of course.
And so the energy is, I'm still working on, but I do feel like it is getting better. But yeah.
So like music is a new avenue?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I used to listen to music or sing. I mean, singing wasn't possible for me for a long time.
Oh gosh,
but with my neck procedure that I had done in November, I was able to start singing like one song a worship. I was even able to start standing during worship. But then with this other stuff getting worse, I'm kind of getting a little bit of a setback lately.
Yeah.
So it that was kind of a hard thing too, is that I could have hope of getting better, but then certain things would happen. Like I'd have a surgery. And I've had 4 surgeries on my feet. They think that there's MCAS is connected a little bit with that. And so they're trying to figure that out too. But yeah, I've just had nonstop sort of like, oh, you're getting better.
Yeah.
Huge setback. Now you can't walk. Now you can't move again, you know? And I forgot to even mention that, but like, yeah. That's like a side
is that thing. Like a flare, would you call it?
An MCAS flare? I don't know. I don't know if it's ever stopped.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I just have to watch my movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Sorry.
It's interesting to hear from you because I think the thing I'm learning from you is how unselfish that is, because I think you might think like, oh, you're so focused on yourself or anything like that, but I don't see it that way. I see it like as an overwhelming thing that you just can't do anything else. And I think it's like an eye-opening thing for me to sit here and realize like this is overshadowing so much of your life, and that's not a selfish thing at all. That's just the reality of what you're experiencing. And I appreciate knowing that, I think, just because I've prayed for you, I've walked with you, I've talked to JT a lot, and I've asked the Lord to really bring healing to you, and it's been really disheartening to see like you can continue on this road. But this is pretty amazing to see that you have a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel right now, but you're not mm-hmm. promised that either, so that's the hardest mm-hmm. part of this whole thing. But I appreciate just you sharing that story with us, because I think it makes me have a different perspective on what people who have chronic pain are actually dealing with. So yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep you too much longer because you can't sit for very long. You're not supposed to. But I wonder, is there any last minute thoughts you guys had, or any last minute thoughts?
As many questions as you'll answer.
Yeah.
Sure.
What did going through the Book of Job in the community feel like, and what did it mean to you?
Yeah, that was interesting. Well, I don't have it as bad as Job. He lost his family, and I can't even imagine that kind of pain. The bottom line to me is either you can trust God or you don't trust God. You can choose not to trust God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But for me, I just feel like I will choose to trust God.
You know? Amen.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yes, it is. You're saying that without feeling comforted by his presence, without knowing whether tomorrow you'll be worse or better, and without having a long-term confidence that this is going to vanish. You're trusting him, and that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful.
Yep.
You know, when the Lord says that we're his witnesses, we're witnesses to one another, we're witnesses in our lives, but we're also witnesses in heaven to the goodness of God. And your testimony of trust in him is something that he hears, and those who love him are encouraged by.
Well, it's super compelling too. It's, thank you, Roxy. I mean, that's just to know what you're going through and to hear you say, I still trust, is... That feels super mature and like...
And also that it's a choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We talked at the end of our first episode on this about being compassionate towards people that are dealing with chronic pain in their lives, whether it's physical or mental or whatever it might be. And I think this has given me a little more compassion for you. And I hope it gives us, like as a community, more compassion for others that are like you, may not have the same extreme pain that you have, but to be able to walk alongside you and care for you. I'm grateful that you spent a bit of time with us sharing your story. It really is a gift to us. So yeah, thank you.
I mean, it is true, right? You can judge people for a lot and you don't know them, right? And you don't know, so I can get a disability sticker, mm-hmm. but I do, mm-hmm. I don't look disabled. I have a lot of people tell me, I do, I guess, you know, that is one of the things I forgot. I do have a lot of people say, you look really healthy, but I'm not actually.
Yeah.
And so that is, so yeah, I don't use it because, well, one, actually I don't go anywhere anyway, so I don't need it because I go to my doctor's appointments.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And luckily a lot of my doctor's appointments have, parking very close, so that's good. But yeah, it's definitely, yeah, be kind to people and
good word.
Always just don't always, I don't know. I do remember people telling me that, you know, with road rage or whatnot, think about the person if they're bothering you, if they're going too slow or whatever you might be thinking, like they have a cake in the back of their car or something. Just, I don't know, have grace, I guess, for others. I mean, I do feel bad that I can't do as much. I was actually really excited. I was able to do I wanted to bake cookies for the treat Sunday.
Yeah.
And so I was able to do that. So that's a blessing. I was actually, it was really nice, actually.
Cool.
But God allowed that. I was a little discouraged at first because after I signed up, I needed another surgery, and I was like, oh, great. And so then I wasn't supposed to be on my feet or anything for a few weeks, but it worked out. This is the biggest, oh my goodness, my son has helped me so much. Mm. You wouldn't think it makes much of a difference, but he goes and gets me my medications. He'll go and get me water. He'll go and get me like for baking or anything, which I don't really cook a lot anymore, but he'll give me the ingredients. And he went one day with my mom, and I didn't realize how much I relied on him. And my daughter was at home, but she was upstairs. I try not to go upstairs too. I didn't realize how much I even limit myself at home. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, I you bet. Know, he always stays down with me. I don't go up and downstairs. Mm-hmm. You can't yell because yelling
diaphragm,
you know, makes it worse. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my neck and all that. Yeah. So having him gone, I really missed him. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, expressed to him how grateful I was for everything that he does mm-hmm. for me. And yeah. he will be going back to school. I've been homeschooling him. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, he's going to be going back to school next year. I just, man, with all the surgeries in my neck and all of that stuff, it got to be just too much, yeah. especially with our last trip. It just, man, it was really
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe that was also God's grace too,
yeah.
that I was able to do that for as long as I did and yeah. how much struggle I was going through too.
Yeah. yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
yeah.
Thinking about it. Yeah. You can see that God is there. I just, like you put it really well about how it has been for me. I just,
yeah. 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 Well, thank you for sharing your story. I think,
yeah, thank you.
I think a real practical ending would be for me to ask anyone who listens to this, our thousands and thousands of listeners, would you pray for Roxy Kimball and just yes. ask the Lord to bring healing to her body and continue
yes.
peace and no pain. I think it sounds like no pain, like would mm-hmm. be a big thing. So you can,
that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Again, thank you for sharing your story. Mm-hmm. I think,
yeah, you're welcome.
And I pray it's an encouragement to those of you out there that are listening, that are dealing with chronic pain, know someone with chronic pain, and just to maybe equip you a little bit more on how to do this and how to be a grateful and generous disciple of Jesus, even though you're dealing with a family member or yourself in that. So final words, anyone?
You know, I'd like to mention a couple things about just being supportive of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're just willing to listen and not try to fix them,
mm.
let them speak when they want to, and don't demand answers if they don't feel up to it. We can be very much a comfort to people just by having that grace to listen, to be kind. And I do want to stress that prayer does make a difference.
Yeah, she asked for.
We don't have to see it be answered to know that we're making a difference. So everyone who's listening, pray for Roxy, pray for people you know who are in pain, and don't think, oh, it's been all these years and nothing's happening. Just think, oh, today mm-hmm. I can pray and maybe the Lord will lighten her load, or maybe mm-hmm. The pain will be less. Maybe she'll sleep sweetly tonight. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
it matters.
Great. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining us today, and stay tuned for our next episode on this as well. And be kind to one another, as Roxy said. I think it's
yes.
a good way to end even this episode. So, all right.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.